I've been all across this country.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome to the show. And on this week's show from MPW, I have Rugged Rich King. Rich, how are you doing today, brother?
I am doing great. I just got back into town from the mountains, so pretty worn down, but ready to get going, buddy.
Was there wrestling going on in the mountains?
No. This was just trying to get a couple more hikes in through before summer ends. So.
Oh yeah, it gets pretty snowy pretty quick around here, being
Absolutely.
That we're in Alberta and whatnot.
Wait. Yeah, man, can't wait to get up on the hills for some snowboarding too later this winter, but. Yeah, just relaxing today.
Solid. Well, thank you for coming on the show. I appreciate that.
Hey, man, absolutely. Really appreciate you even asking me. Listened to a couple of the podcasts you've done. They're really good, and always a big fan of the good old Canadian Goose.
Oh, I appreciate that, man. Thank you. So how is wrestling going for you guys? MPW just recently started doing shows again.
Yeah, we're back up and running finally. It was a little bit of a big missing part of my life when everything kind of shut down and we couldn't run shows and everything. I went and attended a couple RCW shows, just kind of keep that itch going. But we're back at it now. We've had two outdoor shows. Our October show is going to be inside, which is going to be a little bit of a change. So now we can kind of see what it's like to perform in front of the COVID measures and all that fun stuff. But it's great, man. It's awesome being back in the ring. It's awesome being back out there in front of fans.
I assume you guys are going to be performing under the same like rules that we are.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's kind of the universal side of things. Just trying to be as cautious as possible and, you know, keep people safe, but also entertain people.
Yeah, 100%. It's not like we're asking people to like, you know, give up their life for this or anything. Like the tickets are still reasonably priced. You come to the show, you wear a mask. That's pretty much all we ask, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Sanitize your hands. I honestly, like the wrestling shows in Edmonton are probably the best value entertainment that you're going to find. There's not a lot of places that you can go and for 15, 20 bucks, get a full night of entertainment and, you know, that you can bring kids to too. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm pretty sure it's one of the only forms of live entertainment that's still being produced at this time.
That's amazingly true. Yeah. It's unfortunate, but true. You see a couple small concerts happening in outdoor areas, but nothing too crazy or consistent. So, it's kind of nice to get away and live life and enjoy a little bit of normalcy and escape into the wonderful world of professional wrestling.
100%. So what got you into wrestling, bud? Like, how long have you been wrestling for and whatnot? What got you involved and whatnot?
I've been wrestling for the last about 2.5 years now. With COVID and injuries and stuff, that's probably around 2 years technically. But I've been a lifelong fan of professional wrestling, man. Like, I was probably 6, 7, or 8. Like, I was pretty young when I first got into it. Seeing guys like Stone Cold Steve Austin just kind of changed my little life and kind of moved me in a direction that was unstoppable. So after a long period of time of kind of debating it, thinking about it, wanting to give it a try, I finally just said, screw it. Let's do this. Let's get it. Like, I got to be able to at least say I tried it.
Yeah, so jump in with both feet.
Well, yeah, there's so many times in life we find that we don't do things and we can find a million excuses not to do something. But to find that one reason to actually go do it, that's what makes life worth living, right? Like, you just kind of got to do it. You got to jump in and see if you like it. If you don't, then hey, you know what? You gave it a try. You learn from those experiences, but you got to at least try, right?
Mm-hmm. So did you start with MPW? Is that where you got your beginning?
Yeah, man. Born and bred MPW for Rich King here. So started off at a mini camp with them. And from there, it was just kept going to training and learning the ins and outs of wrestling and working on the craft. And yeah, it felt like I was getting a good kind of momentum finally. I ended up injuring myself early on in training. So coming back from that was good because I got a lot of opportunity to kind of sit back and learn from what other people were doing and what works for me and what will work for them. But yeah, got a good train rolling on things, and then COVID hit, so had to kind of sit back on that. But it's just good to be back, and yeah, MPW has been nothing but great for me. They've given me lots of opportunities, and always happy around those guys. They're great group of guys, very passionate.
Right on. And so is Massive like the head trainer over there?
Yeah, Massive Damage is the head trainer. Phil LaFon comes in and helps us out from time to time when his schedule allows, which is solid. Awesome. You know, he's an amazing guy, right? Like, he's worked in Japan, WWF. He's been around the world for this, and he's so good at what he does, so underrated when it comes to professional wrestlers. So learning from both of them has just been, like, amazing. And then you throw in all the people that you learn from, either being in the ring with them, being in locker rooms with them. You know, it's hard to say, like, hey, just one person trained me. But, yeah, Massive is definitely the head trainer there. And he takes care of his guys, you know. If he feels respected, he'll respect you back.
Well, that's good to know. Yeah, everybody should be respecting each other.
You kind of hope so, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait,
but so, you never know.
So what was your first match?
My first ever match was a match against Blaze and Blake Cannon, now known as Beautiful Blake Cannon or Busty Blake. I don't know.
Okay.
Something like that. You've met Blake, eh?
Yep. Yeah. I really like Blake. I remember I used to come to watch MPW shows from time to time, and he would always be wearing this gear, and it made him look like Akeem the African Dream.
That's fantastic. I'm gonna have to poke fun at that for sure. But yeah, so my first match, it was actually a trial run that MPW was doing called I think it was like Proving Grounds or something along those lines.
Okay.
It was for a couple of us new guys to get an opportunity before the show actually starts. So almost like a dark match, if you will.
And was there fans there and stuff?
Like, as fans were coming in, like, we were out there and kind of starting the show off. So
like, doing, like, the pre-show type thing?
Yeah, exactly. So it's just something that we've never really did, but it was a good opportunity to get us out in front of people and have people kind of know us before we start going into other matches.
Okay.
So it was developed for rookies to just get out there, put on their things, and give it a go. Get people kind of into it before we turn off the lights, before the fancy stuff starts up. That lasted for just the one match. So first and only in MPW history. So it was an amazing experience. Ended up losing because, well, Blake cheated, kicked me in the dick and sat on me basically, but
yeah,
it was it was great just getting out there and actually putting into practice what I was actually training for and something that I've always wanted to do. So
How much training had you received when you had your first match?
I think, honestly, it was about, like, 2-3 months. Like, it wasn't long by any means. So, yeah. Like, our match was very, very simple. But, again, I think it was effective. I think we went out there and did what we could with the limited knowledge that we did. But, yeah, it was a couple months, to be honest. So, not very long at all.
Was that Blake's first match as well?
Yeah. So, we actually started around the same time. Actually, I think we started at the same mini camp. And yeah, it's just been a beef ever since, always competing with each other.
Right on. And so with your travels with MPW, have you had the opportunity to go to do some of the more further away shows for them, like Lloyd Minster and stuff?
Yeah, I try to make a point to do as many of the out-of-town shows as I can. It's always great to get out and kind of see different areas, learn how to work different ways, try different things out, and see if it gets a reaction. Because, again, sometimes we focus so much on what we're already doing and what we're good at, we don't necessarily branch out and try new things. So that those spot shows really help out. And, like, again, I've done a couple of RCW out-of-town shows too.
Yeah.
It's always just a great experience to get out on the road, you know, have a couple guys, have some good laughs, and then get in there and do your thing. Have fun with it and go to town. Hopefully entertain people. But, yeah, so we've done, like, Lloyd Minster. We've done Hinton. Where was the other one? There's another one in a smaller Alberta town. But, yeah, I try to make sure that I'm always available for the MPW traveling shows, at least.
Solid. So With you, like, yeah, you have come and done some RCW shows as well. What, from your perspective, are the differences in the locker room between MPW and RCW?
You know, that's tough because it's hard to give, like, an honest, like, not necessarily an honest difference, but there's really not much of a difference, right? And it's kind of nice that way because you just feel very welcome when you do it, right? Because I think for years, a lot of us looked at, like, you know, MPW versus RCW kind of thing where it's like, hey, there's those guys and then there's us, and it's like us versus the world kind of thing. But really it's like we're all wrestlers, we're all like, hopefully everyone's kind of cool dude. Again, like MPW locker room, I know all those guys. I have good relationships with most of them, you know. A lot of my friends are there, so it's a little bit easier, but it's nice going into a different locker room, having different people with different experiences, and everybody's so welcoming. So there's really not a huge difference. It's just the people you know versus people you don't know. It's always going to be a little bit, you're going to mind your P's and Q's a little bit better when it's people you don't know that well.
But for the most part, like, it's about the same.
Yeah. Yeah, man. There's not a huge, huge difference. You know, there's a couple more veteran guys in RCW than there are in MPW right now. And that was kind of good to sit down and chat with some of them about different ideas or different, different ideas and different approaches. So it's kind of cool to see the difference there, but that's really it.
Well, that's pretty good. What other, have you had an opportunity to work for any other federations around?
I worked a show for CWE.
Oh, right on. That's Danny Duggan's federation, right?
Yeah. Last summer I was in Saskatchewan. I forget exactly where it was. But it was just a small, like, spot show at a high school somewhere. It was in the middle of nowhere, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was pretty fun. Again, just pretty new to it all, so just going through the motions there. I had a chance to work for PPW for two shows down in Lethbridge. I got to work with CWC and Red Deer when that was running. So,
oh, right.
And then looking like, if the show gets off the ground, the BEW show or BWE, which are BEW, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably going to be working for them once we can kind of figure things out with that.
Yeah, that I'm looking forward to that too. Anytime that we actually get to do wrestling in Red Deer is usually a pretty good time. I mean, I've actually, to be honest with you, I've never wrestled in Red Deer.
Oh, yeah.
I've announced there and I've refereed there, but I've never actually wrestled there. But I would like to because I used to live in Red Deer, so I got some friends that would probably come out and watch.
Yeah, man, me too. I used to live there for like 6 years. I actually went to school down there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's kind of my second hometown or second town I lived in coming down here. So it's good.
So when you were there, were you training with Dylan and Pride and stuff with the CWC?
No, this was before I got into professional wrestling. So I was in school for kinesiology to go into personal training. And again, my full-time gig. But yeah, so I was down there. I didn't even know wrestling was going on. I had years where I just kind of completely checked out of wrestling. I would follow a couple things here and there, but it's like I wasn't really watching. I wasn't really actively looking to go to shows or anything like that. And then, like I think it was 2016 came around, and there was a show in Edmonton, went to that, and it just kind of reignited that spark. But yeah, when I was down in Red Deer, I wasn't really too invested in the wrestling side of things.
That's fair. I mean, like other than the CWC that was there for a while, I mean, there wasn't a whole lot other than that happening wrestling-wise in Red Deer.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be like once in a blue moon RCW come through or something, but not very often.
Well, in hindsight, now I wish I would have went a little bit more, but hey, you can't change the past.
Yeah, that's very true. Speaking of the past, how did you come up with your character and whatnot for wrestling?
Well, it's not really even a character. I'm trying to just branch it off of my own personality. So, you know, for myself, it's really just bringing out the internal competitor in me. I want to be the best. So it's like, that's what I want my character to be, is being his absolute best, right? Being more aggressive, being more technical, being better than other people, to be fair, or attempting to be at least. I wouldn't say I really came up with the character. It's still kind of a work in progress, because I feel like we should always be working on our own, you know, presentations. But for me, it's just trying to find different outlets for myself to be more creative on that end of things. So I wouldn't say I've created anything, but it's more myself.
Well, a lot of times what you hear is that the best characters are just the person with their personality, like, turned up to 11 or whatnot, you know?
Yeah, you know, I've heard that for years and years and years, when following wrestling and, you know, all the podcasts and all that fun stuff, which is fantastic. But it's, again, just kind of tapping into that. That's been probably one of the things that set me back from kind of going a little bit further, I guess.
Okay.
So, well, not, I can't say that. I can't say not further, but, you know, creating a little bit more memorable experiences almost.
Okay. That's fair. Do you guys do like a lot of like promos and stuff?
So I've actively made a point to do more promo work, more opportunities on the mic, those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I can find that, because, again, like I said earlier, you got to at least try. You got to work on a couple things. You got to see what clicks, see what doesn't, see what feels natural. And if it's not feeling natural to you, it's not going to be natural to the people watching. So trying to find, making sure I'm pushing myself outside of those comfort zones, because that's not my strong point. My strong point isn't like character work or promo stuff, but I want it to be. So that's not going to happen if I don't just do them. So getting different advice from people, getting different input on different things, and trying to approach things a little bit differently. A guy that I really look up to on the promo side of things is actually Jude Dawkins, the Cheetah Bear.
Oh, yeah.
Cheetah Bear.
I love his promos. He's I watched one recently where he was talking about all the Pringles he would eat, and
yes,
yeah, it was great stuff. And then the one where he was gonna wrestle the Omen, Gabriel Lestat, that was fantastic as well. He brought up a lot of like movie like he's really funny. You wouldn't suspect it from a guy dressed up as a bear, but he's like really funny.
Yeah, a guy that looks like he could rip your head off at any second. Like, he's an intimidating individual. But again, really, like, when you get to know him, he's a decent guy. Not the greatest, but decent. Just kidding. I love Jude. But definitely. But you look at his promo work before, right? It was very serious, very dark. And now it's kind of switched into more of a humor side of things, which is fantastic. I love what he's doing. So, that's something that I kind of look at, like, okay, he's pushing himself into different directions. I need to figure out how I can do this, or if I'm not strong with the promo work, like, how can I make, you know, a story going into our show so people actually are invested in the match that I'm in, right? So it's not just the classic, come on down to the Alberta Ave October 3rd, give us money and you'll watch wrestling and it'll be fun. It's like, no, let's make this a story, because that's what people get invested in.
Yeah.
It's a story going into it, because if people don't care, then that's not what we're here to do, right? Then we're just doing moves in a ring.
Yeah, like your whole purpose of your promo should be to get people hyped up to watch you fight.
Yeah, exactly, right? So it should be drawing people in. It's not just telling them when and where to see you. It needs to be like, hey, this is why this is happening. This is why this is going on. And that's something that I'm really trying to work on a little bit more. Is it perfect? No. Am I doing it as much as I want to? No. But I'm doing a little bit. So that's better than nothing, which I was doing before.
Well, I mean, COVID, right? So I hear you. What about, like, athletically? Like, who are some of the guys in MPW that really help you push your athletic ability and whatnot?
Well, athletically, like, again, I'm always competing with Mitch Clark. He, again, former UFC fighter. He's obviously been at elite level athletically. So that's somebody that I always try to, when we're in the ring together, trying to keep up pace, right? Just trying to keep that technicality and keep it going. Guys like Lumberjack Larry, again, great friend of mine. We've had some issues in the last couple of months, but, he's always a guy that helps push me. T.Y. Jackson, again, you look at the guy and you think, like, oh, he probably doesn't have too much of a gas tank, but guy can go. And then we just got Chris Parrish back, so we've been able to get a little bit of work in there together. He's kind of, you know, keeping that tempo, keeping that pace. But realistically, it's just get in there and go. Like, athletically, trying to be as great as it can be. And, yeah, having fun as we do it, too.
Right on. So did you face off with Chris Parrish recently?
No. Just me and him training when we have a training ring available for us. So, you know, Parrish is one of the guys that's kind of taken me under his wing a bit. And he's taught me quite a bit over the last couple of years. You know, he was super nice to me initially and just kind of became friends as things went on. So I haven't had a chance to wrestle him yet. But now that he's back, I'm sure that we're both gunning for that heavyweight championship. So, you know, friends might fight here again soon. So,
right on. Does Maniac ever come around? Do you ever see him?
No, I don't see Maniac as much anymore. I've seen him a couple shows. Always great to see the guy. He's a solid dude. You know, my first match, he gave us like a hell of a pep talk, and really kind of drove that into my head. And you know, that's what you want from a locker room leader, and that's what he was. For the short time that I shared a locker room with him. But yeah, great guy, but I don't really see him too much. I know he has a lot on the go. So,
what kind of advice did he give you?
Well, you know, it wasn't even necessarily advice. It was just kind of a pep talk, you know, like, why are we doing this? This is why we're doing this. This is why we're here. This is why you put the time in. And really kind of setting that intensity. Right. So he really helped kind of calm the nerves, get me excited for that first match, because walking through that curtain for the first time, it's nerve wracking.
Yeah.
Right? You can be shitting your pants essentially before you head out there. But again, a guy like that pulling you aside and just giving you kind of words of advice like that, or just giving you that reassurance that you know what you're doing. You can go out there and do it and have fun.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of value to be had in building people up too, you know. Like, it's important, like, positive reinforcement like that is invaluable, you know?
Yeah, absolutely, you know. And it's something that, you know, he did for me, so I want to try to pass down to others as well. Maybe not in the same way, but just the more I can help. Again, I've only been doing this for 2 years, but helping the new guys out is still something that I really enjoy. Like, I love teaching, I love training, so I love seeing people develop and get better and better. So any chance I can to help people out, I want everybody to be better, because if everybody gets better, so do I.
Yeah. Have you undergone, like, do you have a training role in MPW? I mean, you mentioned that you're a personal trainer. Do people come to you for like fitness advice and whatnot?
Yeah, absolutely. So I do online personal training for people. It's a little bit more affordable and easier for most people. I know that with not only the wrestling schedule, but, you know, full-time work or traveling for wrestling, whatever it might be, coming into a physical location is not always a thing. But yeah, I've built programs for a couple different people. And, you know, it was a little bit more hands-off before COVID, but I think I got a good grasp of how to do it effectively nowadays. So yeah, trying to help people out that way. I don't have a training role with MPW. Again, just being there and having the experience that I do. Again, I'm a little bit older. I'm 30 years old. A lot of people breaking in are younger 20s.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I have more life experience. I've watched more wrestling. I've kind of collected a lot of knowledge along the way that I can try to pass down. Is it all great and amazing and life-changing? No, you know, there's going to be guys like Heavy Metal or Phil LaFon or Massive Damage or Michael Richard Blaze, any of these guys, you know, they have great advice, they have great training techniques, but if I can help do a little bit, at least I did my part at least.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's interesting that you like mentioned Metal and MRB as well, because like we have the Top Talent Training Academy here, and I know you've popped in a couple of times. What would you say the differences are there between the Top Talent and the MPW training?
With MPW, I think it's a lot more, I think we have a little bit more freedom with what we're doing during the time, like, so people can start putting together matches. Like, a lot of times for our training, it's honestly practice. It's just practice matches. Oh, so we're okay. putting together matches, we're kind of breaking it down, going to psychology for guys. Once people kind of get those foundational movements down, so, you know, working on chain, working on pacing, working on presentation, essentially. But we really want to do more like in-ring work and make sure that people are just getting reps, right? The more reps that we can get, the more smooth everything becomes and everybody just gels a little bit more. So having some of the newer guys wrestle some of the vet guys and just kind of go through, you know, a 5 to 10 minute match. Whereas at Top Talent, I found it's like, Kate, we're going to go through, you know, the wonderful blow up drill that we have as a warm up there, which is just fantastic and killed me the first time I did it.
It's a doozy.
Yeah, you know, a lot of rolling, a lot of spinning, a lot of jumping. There's a lot of moving parts, but it's fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's just there's different approaches. So, like when I've come and worked with MRB, it's more, you know, technique for different movements. So for me, it's getting some of those little things fixed up, you know, how we're running the ropes, how we're bumping and feeding, how we're doing X, Y, Z moves, right?
Yeah.
It's just the technical side of things. So he just picks apart those little things a little bit more. And then, you know, working with Metal, same thing. He just gives you different advice, going into psychology and why we're doing certain things.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I've only been there like 3 or 4 times. So I can't give a full like breakdown of this is awesome and they do it this way and that way.
Yeah, I hear you.
But from what I've done, it's a good change of pace, right? It's good to have different eyes and different opinions and different drills. So then you can take that along and utilize that in other areas too. So I've really enjoyed kind of doing both. Again, I think I'm going to be trying to show up at least once a month to Top Talent to just train and work with those guys, say hi. Again, everybody's so great over there, so it's awesome. Just keep passing along that information to our guys too.
Yeah. And I think that like, that's one of the things that people don't really realize about wrestling sometimes is I think there's a perception out there that, oh, you go and you do your 3 months of wrestling school and then you graduate and you're a wrestler. And it's like, no, you need to constantly be training and bettering yourself and bettering your skills and, you know, building your chemistry with the other people that you're training with and whatnot. Like, you can't just be like, oh, I'm trained now and go out and wrestle. You're doing yourself and your audience a disservice if that's the way you're looking at it, you know?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Like, it's like anything. You have to be using it. You have to be thinking about it. You have to be improving every step of the way. If you're just kind of relying on the same shtick that got you to where you are now, it's not going to continuously work. Like, you're going to kind of stagnate. So if you're training, if you're getting smoother, if you're getting more, if you're becoming a safer worker too, that's always the important part too,
mm-hmm.
is making sure that you're not doing erratic things that just out of nowhere that might hurt somebody. Right. So, I'm a big, big believer in making sure that, you know, you're training, you're in the ring. If it's not a show week, like you're basically going twice a week to training at least.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. For sure.
And just keeping those calluses too, right? Like being able to take a bump, that sucks.
Yeah.
Like the human body's not supposed to be doing this, but we train in a way so it's like when you take those bumps, you're not going to have that stiff and sore neck for 6 days after.
Yeah.
Like you do when you first start training, right? You want to be able to hit the ropes without getting a massive bruise under your lats. Like you really want to make sure that you're staying in ring shape, which is completely different than just in shape. Like I found really quickly, like doing cardio at the gym versus doing like training sessions and blow up drills, those are two completely different things. One does not really prepare you as much for the other.
what do you think is more challenging?
Oh, definitely in ring. Cause again, as you're going through everything, you need to make sure that you remember to breathe.
Yeah.
Which sometimes we forget about. And not only that, it's your full body moving and you're going through different movement patterns that aren't repetitive. So, I always like to use the example of like a bike, right? So if you're on a stationary bike, you're not really moving. It's just your legs. Your core is a little engaged, but when you're actually in the ring, you're hitting the ropes, you're grabbing a guy, you're dropping down, you're ducking, you're hip tossing, you're suplexing, right? You got all these movements and all the muscles working that your cardiovascular system gets taxed so much more. So it's a good aerobic and anaerobic workout. So in short, in-ring wrestling is probably the best cardio you can get for wrestling.
100%, and it's like it's all like functional stuff, like you say, like you're using all the muscles that you need to use, and like you've got other people depending on you too, so you can't just, you know, fucking lazy ass it or whatever, because somebody will get hurt.
Yeah, and that's exactly it, right? Because it's like if you're not in shape and you're blown up, and you know what, it's something that kind of frustrates me to hear, because people talk about being blown up like it's a joke, and it's like, this isn't a joke. If you're blown up and you're trying to suplex somebody, you drop them on their damn neck, like that's not a joke anymore. That's somebody's life. That's somebody's, like,
yeah, that's not their good
body. Like, you are putting somebody's body in your hands, so if you're not prepared for that, you shouldn't be in the ring. So again, I'm a firm believer that people should work on conditioning all the time. Being blown up is not necessarily a badge of pride in my mind.
No. I mean, it's good to know your, like, to know, like, that you can keep going when you are blown up. Like, I think that's the reason we do, like, a lot of blow-up drills, is just because once we are blown up and we have to keep going for a little while extra, it just kind of, it makes it so much easier when you're not blown up, you know what I mean?
110%.
Yeah. Yeah. So who did you face at the last show for MPW?
It was me and Mitch Clark for the Monster Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion. Once again, Mitch snuck out with a win. And, I'm not very happy about it, to be honest.
Oh, you would think, it, like, if he's a UFC fighter, he wouldn't have to be sneaky, you know?
Well, there's multiple things that happened there. I'm not sure if you saw any footage or not. But
no, I'm afraid I didn't.
You know, I hit him with the angle slam. Usually I finish people with that. He kicked out of it. I had to hit him with another move that I've kind of brought back a little bit more. Still kicked out of that.
Oh, did you hit him with like an inverted Falcon arrow or something?
No, not that one. Actually, I kind of did.
I might have saw that video. It was like a big lifting inverted DDT of death.
Yeah, kind of the reverse suplex there. But no, it was. I call it the Gold Rush, but basically, it's like a Dudley Dog meets a RKO in a way. So, hit that. He still was able to kick out. Mitch is resilient as hell. Long story short, basically, the ref got knocked out. I had him pinned, hit me with a low blow. He was winding up to hit me with the championship belt. Lumberjack Larry, my friend, came out. I really wish he wouldn't have stuck his nose in my business again. But he took the belt. He proceeded to miss Mitch with the belt and hit me directly in the face with it. So,
oh no.
We had some words after the match.
I can only imagine.
Yeah.
Are you going to be wrestling Larry at the next show?
No, we haven't spoken since then. But apparently MPW management has decided to put me in the ring with a newer competitor. So I'll have some words about that on a later date. But needless to say, I'm not too happy about not being in the title situation when Mitch didn't beat me.
That's fair. Yeah.
And they want to try to keep me and Lumberjack apart for what was happening in the locker room there. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds like you guys are having a lot of drama and stuff, which is always good in wrestling, you know?
Yeah, the classic, you know, best friends, bitter rivals, but yeah, it's funny how life works out that way, hey?
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that you might be facing a newer talent at the next show there, and there is a lot of, like, MPW is like a breeding ground for new wrestlers. You just touch on like how many new people you see, how many of them generally stick around, and like what's the best path for success in MPW?
Best path of success. Well, I guess it's just, again, being consistent, continuously growing, and just improving yourself, right? One nice thing is that, you know, in the MPW locker room, and this isn't saying there is in RCW, again, I haven't been there enough, but we always have like a very good chemistry with everybody. So as long as people are respectful, they're not ego-driven, and they're passionate about wrestling, they'll usually fit into our locker room amazingly. And once you're in there, like, you know, everybody's going to help. We all want to get better. So we all want to make sure that, you know, the tide rises everybody's boat, or whatever the old saying is.
Yeah.
A rising tide lifts all ships, essentially. But yeah, so the path to success is just consistency. It's do the work, continuously get better, work on your character, work on your in-ring side of things, and just, you know, be invested in yourself. There's a lot of people that I've seen come in and expect the world, but they're not really giving any new ideas. They're not really trying to help other people out. So it ends up just being like, well, they get frustrated and they leave. It's like, well, I guess. But yeah, it really is a team environment that we try to have. So the best success is just consistency, be part of the team, and, you know, put in the work. You put in the work, you'll get rewarded. Plain and simple as that. But yeah, we see a couple new guys almost every year. Probably we do camps just like Force did this past weekend.
Okay.
I think we have a mini camp coming up, actually. So check out the Monster Pro Wrestling Facebook page and Instagram if people are interested in that. But yeah, we get a couple. We probably get about two or three new people for every mini camp that we run. And they'll stick around pretty consistently once they're into it. We have like one or two people drop off every, probably every 6 months or so, but nothing terrible.
Do you go to the mini camp as well?
I try to, just to kind of get a lay of the land of like who the new people are, introduce myself, help some people where I see needed. Sometimes I can get too down the rabbit hole, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Try to give them too much. Initially, yeah. It's like, hey, you're just learning how to lock up. But it's like, okay, well, if you're locking up, do it this way, and this is why, and this is why, and this is why. And it's just like, okay, take a step back, and let's just get this done. let's get them showing how to do it first versus, like, all the mentality behind it.
Sometimes
I get too excited.
that's fair. I remember we did one of the Top Talent mini camps, and I put like a wrist lock on one guy, and I don't know. I guess I just like I did it like I was gonna like it as if we were in a match. So the guy got kind of freaked out because it was aggressive or whatever.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh geez, sorry, man. I did like I wasn't trying to freak anyone out or anything. But you know, like, what can people expect from the MPW mini camps when they go?
It's going to be the fundamentals. That's really what it is. You're going to learn the very, very fundamentals of pro wrestling, a bit of psychology through there. We try to have a little bit of fun with it. So guys, you know, if they want to learn certain things, we can start going through them once they're at a safe place or once we feel that they're able to take a proper bump. But learning how to bump is one of the biggest things, obviously. Learning how to roll, how to properly lock up, how to chain wrestle, you know, running the ropes, those types of things. We're not going to be doing 450 splashes off the top on day one.
No.
But
no.
But yeah, it's hard, the basics. You know, a lot of the MPW wrestlers will be at the mini camps helping people out and really kind of putting them through the paces. Massive is a great instructor for what we go through in the mini camps. You know, I feel like he laid the foundation for me to have more success moving forward. So it's like, if you can get those foundational parts down first before you start moving into just your moves, it's very beneficial.
Yeah, you don't want to overconfuse everything and put
Absolutely.
Too much on your plate for sure.
And honestly, the biggest thing to expect from an MPW minicamp is to be freaking sore the next day.
Yeah, I mean any serious mini camp, I'm sure you're not going to be feeling too spry the day afterwards,
yeah.
You know. There'll probably be a sense of accomplishment if you put in a lot of hard work and you do half decent. But there'll be a lot of muscle ache and whatnot as well.
Oh my God, I keep remembering just how stiff my neck was. I'm like, come on, like I work out, I train for this kind of shit, and it's like, nope, this whiplash you just cannot train for.
100%. So, who are some of the wrestlers that, like, you pattern yourself after? You mentioned that you use the angle slam. Do you do a lot of, like, is that the style of wrestling you're really into? Is, like, Kurt Angle, like, technical stuff?
Yeah, absolutely, my man. Like, it's funny because it's all the people that I really didn't like all that much growing up that I end up, I kind of, not idolizing, but... you know, paying homage to, essentially, or modeling myself afterwards, right? Like, growing up, obviously, you love the big personalities. So it was like Stone Cold, The Rock, Undertaker, all those kind of main player guys. But now that I've gone into the wrestling side of things, now I'm modeling myself after more of the working guys, the guys that were good at making you hate them. So a guy like Kurt Angle, I didn't realize how much I actually... mimicked him until I was watching matches back, and I was like, okay, like, this is exactly what I want to do. So a guy like Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho, just being so multifaceted, Dean Malenko is an easy comparison, because again, a little bit of an undersized guy, not always the most talkative or not the most engaging promo of all time, but amazing in the ring, right? So it's like,
yeah, Dean Malenko is not a slouch at all. Okie dokie, sorry about that. For some reason, there was some technical difficulties and whatnot. So we were just talking, Rich, and you were explaining why you love Kurt Angle so much.
Well, it's not just Kurt Angle, I guess I should say. There's multiple other ones, but again, you look at Kurt Angle as a performer, he's just entertaining in a number of different ways.
Oh, he's one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't even really realize it until, you know, doing a couple podcasts, people asked me, like, who's your favorite wrestler and blah, blah, blah. And I didn't realize how much I actually had Kurt Angle kind of near the top and just how accomplished he was. But amazing athlete, always willing to put his body out there for things, whether he should have or not. I guess that's up for him to decide. But yeah, I just love his style of wrestling. It's kind of a combo of, you know, very technical with a little bit of power base, but it's just believable, right? You believe that this guy could, you know, angle slam the Big Show, right?
Because yeah,
he is an Olympian.
Well, I've seen him do it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, do it now. But it's just, there's a believability factor, and I think guys like Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho, the cruiserweights of WCW, so Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, Chris Benoit, you throw into there as well. All of those kind of guys really brought an air of believability to it. And that's what I think really drew me in as a wrestler of, like, hey, these are the kind of guys I want to mimic, right? So I'm always a big fan of guys that can be diverse and show range in their performances. So a guy like AJ Styles is another one that, you know, again, not really realizing, but it's like, yeah, he's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. But yeah, so putting him into a category with like a Jericho, with an Angle, those kind of guys is, I think, appropriate.
Yeah, 100%. So let me just ask you this one here. Who are three of your top, like, dream opponents? Like, if you could wrestle any three people, who would you like to wrestle?
Like, in wrestling as a whole, or in Alberta, or where are we talking?
Well, let's do one of each. One from wrestling as a whole and one from just Alberta.
Oh, God. Both of them are hard to answer, actually.
Oh, yeah.
All the world, if I could wrestle one person, I'm trying to think of who would be the lightest and wouldn't light me up. I would have to say probably Adam Cole right now.
Adam Cole, okay. from NXT.
Fantastic.
Yeah, he's a great wrestler. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I find my I'll be 100% with people. Like, I'm basically just a WWE fanboy. I don't follow a lot of independent promotions in the States, and like again, briefly a little bit of New Japan here and there, a little bit of AEW now, a little bit of Impact, but like primarily my main source of finding out wrestlers is through WWE and NXT. So it's like when guys like Adam Cole or Johnny Gargano or now Killer Cross come into the promotion, then I can start YouTubing people and actually seeing, it's like, hey, this is what this person's done in the past. And again, Adam Cole has some amazing stuff in the past and hilarious work too. So he's probably one of the best in-ring competitors out there right now.
Yeah, he's pretty fantastic. I mean, all those Undisputed guys are really good.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Kyle O'Reilly, the Canadian here, is amazing. Bobby Fish is amazing. I think Roderick Strong is super underrated.
Oh, he's one of my favorites. Like, I remember first seeing him back in like 2003 or 2005 on like old Ring of Honor tapes, and just being like, "Oh, this guy is the master of the backbreaker."
Yeah, like, it was him and AJ Styles in the first episode of I think it was Impact.
Yeah,
as their first match on Spike TV, and I remember watching that one. I was just like, "Okay, I have no idea who this guy is, but like, this was a great match."
100%. So how about from the Alberta scene? Who have you yet to work in Alberta that you would really like to get your hands on?
Well, there's definitely the MRB side of things. That's kind of the standard bearer for a lot of us in Alberta pro wrestling.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'm
in the ring again with Heavy Metal. I had an opportunity to do that earlier this year. There were some parts of the matches that I did that I wasn't too happy about. I'd like to kind of redeem myself in that sense. Mark, Michael Allen, Richard Clark.
Oh, okay.
Marky would be a fun one to get in the ring with. Yeah, those kind of guys would definitely be top up there.
Solid. Well, Rich,
actually, you know what? I'm going to change that answer. I think the person that I want to wrestle the most isn't even a wrestler. It's a ref.
Oh, really?
Ben Uman.
You want to wrestle Ben Uman?
Ben the referee.
What did he do to you?
I'm sick of that referee and him just fucking on everybody's matches.
Oh.
So, Ben, if you're listening to this, you better get that stunner ready, because I'm coming at you with everything I have.
That's fantastic. I actually would pay money to watch that. I would like to see Ref Ben wrestle you.
Ben in his blue shirt. This is Rich King. Let's do this.
Solid. I want to wrestle Ben. I want to wrestle him too. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, let's start a club here, right?
Let's do me and you against Ben and Charles.
Nah, just Ben.
Okay.
I have nothing against Charles. Charles is fine.
Charles gave me a spear in a match once.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Charles is a good dude. I like Charles.
Yeah, I like her. Again, almost everyone I've met, and again, my personal experiences, you know, pretty much everyone I've met in Alberta pro wrestling are just solid guys anyways. I mean, there's obviously people that, you know, you don't personally get along with, but that doesn't mean that they're not good people.
That's fair. Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, for the most part, like 99% of the people I've met in wrestling have been, you know, decent to me for sure.
Are you saying I'm the top 1% there or what?
Jeff Jarrett was a dick.
Fair enough. What's the story behind this?
Well, he came in and he did one of our shows, and I mean, I've talked about it before, but he like about 10 minutes before the show was supposed to start, like, I approached him to ask him for his weight in hometown because I was ring announcing that night, and he spent half an hour like just making fun of me because I didn't know how much he weighed. So, and I mean, he was just, you know, he was just being a bit of a drunk dick, you know what I mean? I'm not saying he's a bad person or anything. Like, I don't hold any ill will towards him. I'm happy he got his act together or whatnot. But it was just like, and I mean, it was just, he was like, when I say he was a dick, he was just doing like, you know, prickish things that drunk people do. But it was all like in good nature or whatever. But like I say, I approached him 10 minutes before the show was supposed to start, and he spent half an hour making fun of me. And I was like, at that time, I'm like, well, the homeboy owns like Impact Wrestling. I'm not going to tell him, hey, why don't you just like give me your weight so I could go start the show, you know?
Yeah, we're running late. I know you're the big meat here, but
yeah.
So Goose versus Jeff Jarrett coming soon to.
Oh, God.
RCW near you.
I don't know. I have a feeling. Probably not. Yeah, but it's a cool experience because I'll always remember that time that Jeff Jarrett made fun of me for a half hour.
That's very true. You'll always remember that Jeff Jarrett experience.
Okay. Rich, let's get your social media in there. If the fans listening to this would like to follow you, where can they do so?
Yeah, please do. You can follow me on all the social media platforms at RK_wrestling, Rich King Wrestling here. So, I try to post probably about 3 or 4 times a week some different content, whether they're pictures from local photographers who do amazing jobs at both shows. Whether it's videos from the last match, promos, just trying to be as interactive as possible. So if people are interested in following little old Rich King around, by all means, feel free. My butt does look good in tights, so.
Oh, mine doesn't. Anyway.
God damn, Kyle.
When can the people come and watch you wrestle live next?
For sure. So our next show is going to be on October 3rd, Alberta Ave Community Hall. I believe it's 7:00 start time. If people are interested in tickets, just DM me. I can make sure to get the $5 advance, right? Always good to save a little bit of money in these COVID times. Again, there are limitations to how many people are coming. So if people are interested in seeing what's next for Rich King and who I'm going to run through next, they just got to message me.
Yeah, don't wait because you don't want to find out that the show's sold out.
Absolutely. You know, our outdoor shows, we had about 150, almost 200-ish people there. So inside, we can only have 100. So yeah. Those extra 50 people would be left out in the rain. So make sure you get your tickets sooner rather than later. Always here to help. And then hopefully, as COVID starts clearing up, we can start doing some spot shows. And
yeah, from what I hear, BEW is October 11th. Is that when it is?
October, or what was it? I'm just trying to look at a calendar here. Yeah, October 11th. So Thanksgiving Sunday. What a way to spend the night, Thanksgiving with family and, family fun at, Festival Hall.
Yeah. Festival Hall, an amazing wrestling venue. I can't wait to go there and, hopefully by then I'll be able to get back at the ring and, whatnot. So
really, hopefully you're healed up.
Yeah. I want to thank you again for coming on the show and look forward to seeing you out at BEW, or if you're in the crowd at one of our shows, or if I go to be in the crowd at one of your shows. October 3rd, I don't think I will be because I believe we also have a show that night. I know you said earlier it's not a us versus them mentality, so make sure, like, yeah, I would recommend any wrestling fan go to either show, so.
Or even both.
Yeah, if you want to see, I don't know if you could swing going to both. They're both running at the same time.
Ah, we'll see.
But yeah. I mean, Rich King's butt looks good in tights, and mine doesn't. So maybe that's one of the advantages your show has over ours. Okay.
MPW, here we go.
Alrighty. Before we move on here and just end the show, Rich just mentioned to me that he also has a podcast, and I was completely unaware of this. So, Rich, why don't you let our listeners of this podcast know where they can listen to your podcast?
Yeah, man, I kind of forgot myself, and I keep forgetting to plug it. But for all things fitness related, I do run a fitness podcast called Real Results Podcast. You can find it on Apple, Podbean, Spotify, Google. I think we're on Amazon now, looking at getting on multiple different platforms. So anywhere you can find podcasts, and if you want to learn more about fitness and health and really kind of take that side of things to the next level, Real Results Podcast, check that sucker out.
Alrighty, Real Results Podcast, check that out, and maybe your butt can look just as good in tights as Rich King's does.
Not guaranteed, but...
Yeah, unlikely, but maybe. Yeah, there you go. Okay, well, thank you very much, Rich, and I will talk to you again later, okay, buddy? Okay, bye-bye. Nova Scotia and New Brunswick, Quebec and Newfoundland.